Uh-oh, Christopher Bond is away, and that means Mark and Miriam will play by watching Tron Legacy and talking about it. We've got a couple of friends joining us, surprise guests. I will not tell you who it is. What else are we doing on this episode, Miriam?
It's also our last battle of March Madness, the snack. We are crowning a champion today in the best theme park snack in the world.
Nice. Is that it? What else are we doing?
Oh, we also have the giveaway winner for the Waltimore and Mick giveaway that we had going.
Oh, so
we'll
nice.
Announce that shortly.
Okay, so this was the cold open. All this and so much more. Well, not really. We told you everything you're going to get on the We Like Theme Parks podcast.
We present a spectacular festival of theme park audio commentary magic. Do We Like Theme Parks podcast?
Yo. Bring it back now.
Wingardium Leviosa.
Welcome, foolish mortal.
We like theme parks. Woohoo!
Hello, fellow theme park enthusiasts, and welcome to the We Like Theme Parks podcast, your go-to spot for news, opinions, and other fun happenings in and around the Disney and Universal theme parks. I'm Mark Andrada. Hello. There is no Christopher Bond today. Hello. But we do have our dear pal all the time, Miriam Kenley. Hi, Miriam.
Hi. How are you?
Oh, I'm pretty good. How did I do on the opening?
It was great.
Really?
We're doing this thing.
Chris is so much better. Chris is good at it. Chris, when Chris is not here, I mess it up, baby.
No, you got all the points in there. I think we're good. We're doing great.
Okay, so what are we doing first? Do you want, should we do March Madness first?
Yes, let's crown this champion.
Boom shakalaka!
It's March Madness, the snacks, the finals. And this episode is brought to you by Waltimore and Mick. Thanks, Waltimore and Mick. And now, it's time to crown a new champion.
Okay, so what are we going to do first today?
Let's start with March Madness, the snack.
Okay, sounds good. Who won? The final two snacks were Dole Whip.
Yes, from Disney West against the Deluxe Mickey Bar. The premium Mickey Bar.
The premium Mickey Bar Deluxe.
Yes, from Disney East. So it's a Disney on Disney battle.
We've been talking about this for a while, and I don't think it would be any surprise if I told you that my vote would be for the Dole Whip. That is the Breakfast of Champions. I think I've posted that exact picture of a Dole Whip with the caption Breakfast of Champions. I've posted that at least twice on my Instagram. Maybe three times.
Now I think it has to be a thing every time you go to the park, you know?
Yeah, like, did I take a picture of it, post it, and say Breakfast of Champions? Yeah.
Yeah, I think you have to.
Yeah.
No, I'm not surprised at all that you voted for a Dole Whip. It is a perfect snack, honestly.
What did you vote for?
I had a little bit of a hard time with this one because I do love a premium bar in the middle of the day. You know, they're everywhere all over the park, so you don't have to go back to Adventureland to get one. So I do end up having one frequently if it's hot. And just how cute it is, I had a hard time. But I ended up voting for Dole Whip because there's nothing like a Dole Whip in the Tiki Room.
Yeah, that's the way to start the day. A nice, easy, ease into your day. Easy morning, have a Dole Whip, have a Tiki Room, and then I'm ready. Well, how did all our listeners and our Instagram followers vote?
So our Instagram followers have crowned Dole Whip the new March Madness the Snack Champion. And it was 69% to 31%.
Oh, wow. 69%.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So people weren't all the way sold on a Dole Whip. Like, I thought it was going to be like...
Me too.
90% Dole Whip.
Yeah. If you made me guess before you said it, I would have said 89. That would have been my guess. 89% mm-hmm. Dole Whip.
Well, yeah, I mean, closer to 50%.
So you know what? I guess some people don't like pineapple, and that's fair.
Yeah, that's true. Or, you know, like a lot of my family members like... a bite of Dole Whip, but they don't ever finish a whole one. Like, there are a few... Like, my sister, she was really excited to try one, and then she had a bite, and she's like, that's enough.
Really?
Like, just too tart for her, I think.
See, the thing for me is a bite of Dole Whip is the Dole Whip. If you've seen me eat ice cream, that's like, I eat ice cream like a cartoon bird eats anything. No, like just all one gulp. You ever seen a cartoon bird like eat like a big long sandwich?
I would say regular birds kind of eat that way.
You're right. You're right. Like a seagull eating a french fry.
Yeah, it's just like one bite, that thing.
Nope, it's gone. Yeah. It's kind of wild that we did the finals of this while Chris wasn't here.
I know. I can't believe he missed it. His favorite event of the year, and he missed crowning the champ. I think he'd be very happy that Dole Whip won.
Yeah, I think he's a Dole Whip. Yeah, he's a Dole Whip guy too. So
yeah, I mean, he has been like pretty not into the Mickey bar this whole time. So
yeah, he's been mad ever since the turkey leg got voted out. So
that's true. That's true. He's been salty since the salty leg went away.
Yeah, but now he can be sweet because the Dole Whip has won.
Exactly. And it beat what is his eyes is a garbage snack. So win-win.
And we have a giveaway to do, right?
We do. So Waltimer and Mick were kind enough to sponsor this episode and last episode. And they put together a $50 gift card to their site.
Huge.
And we have a winner.
Okay. Drum roll. Who's the winner?
The winner is at Kirby.AnnaK.
Oh, congratulations. Yay. At Kirby.AnnaK.
Yes. So reach out to us and we will get you connected with Waltimer and Mick and get that prize sent to you.
And if you do not reach out to us, we will take the prize and spend it ourselves. Just kidding. What happens if they don't reach out?
We have to choose a new winner.
Okay. So keep listening to the podcast. Maybe they won't... Maybe Kirby.AnnaK won't reach out and we'll have to get a new winner.
I think she will.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying maybe.
There's always a chance.
Okay. So that's all the stuff we're doing off the top. Should we get into Tron and invite our guests on?
I think it's time. Tron time.
Tron time, segment time.
Podcast. Segment time.
Okay, so like I said at the beginning of the podcast, Chris is not here. So we have decided to review the Tron sequel, Tron Legacy. And we have two dear pals who have come to potentially defend this movie. But I mean, you know what? Maybe I liked it. Maybe Miriam liked it. We don't know. We don't know how we feel until we talk about it. So we have Jeanette and Nigel. Hi, how are you guys?
Greetings, programs.
Perfect. Perfect. Okay, so we're talking about Tron now that Chris isn't here because that is the new brand.
Yeah.
Should we say right up front how we feel about this movie? Thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs in the middle.
Well, I mean, I think I don't need to say, obviously.
Obviously. Jeanette loves
this. It's the only reason I'm here, right?
Yes. And you did come to Tron's defense, the original Tron part one.
Original Tron, yeah.
Okay. So Jeanette obviously loves Tron. Nigel, where do you sit with Tron?
Yo, I'm backing up my girl Jeanette, man. Let's go. Tron all day, man. Like, let's get it. Let's go to Flynn's. Let's get into that arcade and let's get it done.
Okay, so hold on. Do you like Tron Legacy or Tron the original?
I like both. Legacy is more my speed, but when I watched the original Tron, I mean, I was a kid. So, I mean, that was, what are we talking, right. Like mid-80s, okay. or 87 mm-hmm. or something?
Yeah.
Sure.
It was cool to see on TV because that's when I saw it, right? When it was airing just, you know, Saturday afternoon. And you're like, what is this? What is this? Because it's special effects. They bad, man. They bad.
Yeah.
But I thought it was cool. So
wait,
when
you say bad, do you mean bad meaning bad or bad meaning good?
No, that was a bad meaning bad. That was like,
oh, you don't like it, really?
Yeah, but I never said I didn't like it. I'm just saying that the special effects were bad. Like they're not great. Like the special effects aren't great.
Yeah, that's not
specific
good.
To that film.
1,000%.
Because that's the only thing I liked about the original film were the special effects.
Okay, fair.
I thought the plot was bad. I didn't understand what was going on most of the time.
So I'm not saying the plot.
I think that has more to do with the 80s than Tron itself.
That's fair. Yeah. That's fair. Yeah. I can go with you on that. Yeah. But that's funny. So that's funny. Nigel, you didn't like the plot and you didn't like the special effects of the original Tron.
What do you like about this thing? I never said that. Let me clarify.
Please clarify.
I said the special effects were bad in the original Tron.
Yes.
I think they're bad. But I'm thinking about that lens that I watched them in. Like as a kid, I thought you could just tell they're bad. But I mean they're 80s, man. So it's like it is what it is, right?
Right.
The plot, it was what it was. It was weird, you know what I mean? But it was fine. It was fun. Sure, there's tons of holes in it, but I dug it. But Tron Legacy, like I'm all about. I'm not saying it's a perfect movie, but I am saying it's a hell of a lot of fun. The special effects are really cool. And the idea is great taking all the homages from the original movie and putting into this one.
Okay, I can go with you on that. Miriam, how did you feel about this movie as a whole? Tron Legacy specifically.
I could tolerate it better than original Tron, but I have a splitting headache and I can only blame this film. Like, it still felt like my brain was having the hardest time just dealing with this plot.
Really? Okay. Yeah. What didn't you like about it? Like, what was, like, I guess the plot was just there's too much going on.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess maybe I'm just not a computer person.
I love it. I'm not a computer person. Okay. Yeah. I get it.
This is not the type of magic film I want to be in ever, I guess.
Right.
So
that's like a person who doesn't care for outer space not liking Star Wars.
No, I feel like it's like a person not liking space, not liking the mission to Mars stuff, maybe.
Oh, yeah. Take it down.
Star Wars, I think you could like and still not be into space, but
it's got a darkness. All of Tron kind of has a darkness to it.
I don't even see that. I'm just like, I honestly feel like I pause it looking for it to be over.
Just checking how much is left. No, that's not the movie going experience. Like, that's not how you want to spend your time watching a movie, just checking to see if it's
like
almost
how
done
how much of this is left.
I'm sorry I made you watch this. I'll say I didn't mind this. I enjoyed this movie at a certain point, and we'll get to that point, but I thought the special effects were super cool. I thought it looked great. I thought it sounded great. I genuinely got excited when Daft Punk showed up. I don't know why. I wasn't expecting them to be there. I knew they did the soundtrack. I just wasn't expecting to see them. And then when you do see them, I went, oh, yeah, of course I see them. They fit right in. They look like they belong.
If you don't think I didn't squeal in the theater when I saw them, fully freaked out. My dad had no idea who they were.
How do you feel that they've broken? How do you feel about the breakup?
R.I.P.
I'm upset about it, but I get the impression that they're either both going to have a solo career or at least one of them will.
Right.
So I have hope for that. But I mean, they have such an extensive catalog and it's so ingrained in the time that it's from that I'm like totally, sometimes I'm okay with it because I'm like, all right, even though they did make really great stuff recently too. So
Do you think one will be called Daft and the other one will be called Punk?
I made that comment.
Yeah. I knew I was going to, as I was saying it, I'm like, this is going to disappoint Nigel for sure. this is not good what I'm about to say, but here it is.
To talk about Tron Legacy and not say that the soundtrack is at very least 30% of that movie or the reason that it succeeds in my opinion as a movie is a foul. You have to bring that into it 100%.
Let's go. That's what I'm talking about. I mean, Daft Punk just killed it with that soundtrack. Like it was unbelievable what they achieved in terms of the time period. I mean, this is 2010 we're talking about, but the movie, the music really transcends, Jeanette, to what you're saying. It just transcends the movie because it makes the movie so much cooler and it makes all the, you know, all the race scenes and all the tension in it, like everything just gets accentuated and gets heightened. Every time, you know, you hear a Daft Punk track start up or even when it's at its lowest volume level, you can hear just underscoring things. It still gets you kind of jacked up for what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
I feel like the visuals in that movie, you know, sometimes you feel like you can see sound or you can feel a sight. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like the depth of the sound in that movie makes the visuals pop more, because they you literally feel like when big things move, there's big, deep sounds, which is traditional, I know, but because it's electronic, you kind of like feel it more.
Yeah.
Like, especially this movie, if you saw it in the theater, or you have, you know, mm-hmm. everybody has a good TV now. So
yeah. Yeah. Like, this movie like gives you synesthesia in a way.
Yeah. It does. It pushes the movie forward. It is a soundtrack that I can have on in the car and listen to the whole thing from front to back and be like totally happy with it. Road trip music. So.
For sure.
This is one of those soundtracks that I know you're saying that you can go, that you can listen to it when you have a road trip. For me, I like to listen to it when I'm reading my comic books. There's certain comic books, but it has to be very specific though. I'm that guy. Like, I love my movie soundtracks, like my scores, like that's actually my wheelhouse. So there's certain books that I will listen to, that I will read with certain scores, like within that genre. And Tron Legacy, the magic that Daft Punk has done really helps with any kind of futuristic or neo or whatever kind of book that I'm reading. And I love it. It just makes sense. It's great.
Nice. Okay. So let's start at the beginning of this movie. The very first thing that happens is the opening, where all these lasers hit in that, I don't know what else to call this, but like Tron blue. It's somewhere between blue and green.
Mm-hmm.
And the lasers sort of move around and they form the Disney castle logo. And I'll say,
yeah,
I was very excited. Yeah. You know me. Sure. You know me. I love lasers, and these were lasers for me. I was like, oh, hold on. Okay. This could be great. And then the movie starts, and they're in the real world, and there's they're at NCOM, which is, I guess, what Flynn's computer company is now called. Was it always called that?
I think so.
I believe so. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So yeah, they're at NCOM, this corporation, and Kevin Flynn, who is the original Flynn, the father Flynn. Why am I blanking on the name of this actor? For goodness sakes,
Jeff Bridges.
Thank you. I just want to call him the dude all the time. And is it me? He was a little more the dude in this than he was in the original Tron.
Yeah,
like he kept saying like, "Oh, come on, man." I was like,
"Yeah, no." They fully let him embrace that, and you'll get it's later in the movie, obviously, because whenever you see him now, he's still young Flynn.
Yes, but later on when he's like old dude, and he's like, "Oh, come on, man. I was just hoping for the best, man."
Yeah. Very, very hippie Jeff Bridges.
Yeah.
Even down to the costuming. I felt like they fully embraced that into his costuming for this Flynn.
Yeah.
It was a robe electronic suit.
Yes.
Like
that robe was pretty good.
Like
we'll get there.
Glowy. Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Everybody else is in just regular tight pants and he gets a robe.
He gets a robe. Listen, I really thought that grid just brought the room together, man. Okay, so there's Kevin playing. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. This part of the movie, I really, to be honest, I couldn't stand. So we get through it, you know. And Sam, his son, is there, and he, well, the 1-2 skip a few on this is Sam puts some sort of a virus or something in this computer.
Oh, wait. 1-2 skip a few.
Yeah.
If you have not seen the first Tron, this opening is super important.
Like, it's true.
You can watch this and fully catch up on what you need to know.
Yeah, there is
this movie.
There is a wild amount of exposition in the first 23 minutes of this movie.
It does tell you where we're at now, what's happening.
And I guess they had to, because the first Tron told us nothing about what happened in the first Tron.
Baffling. It was a baffling film. Yeah. No clue. So this really does lay it out for you. Like, if you watched the first Tron or didn't watch it.
I learned about what the first Tron was about based on this exposition.
And it does explain why we're about to find out that he's gone. You would assume he was dead.
Right.
I feel like in that opening, all of a sudden, that's when Miriam was like,
I did that, and then I was also like, I still don't like it.
this opening is the mistake of Tron to me.
It's better than the original Tron opening that was literal nonsense.
Oh my gosh,
right?
Yes, for sure. You know what it is? I just don't want to see the real world here. All of this, like, you know, the note that I wrote, so much exposition off the top. Oh boy, who cares? Throw those frisbees already. That's what I wrote. Because that's what I want. I want Tron to... 23 minutes I'm watching this movie going, when are you going to throw some frisbees and drive that light cycle around and have a chase? Please get to that part. I don't think they need all this. Like, I feel like Tron Legacy was an opportunity for them to just get into... I'm just going to keep calling the world Tron. I know that that's not the name of the world, but... I like to call it a Tron. So I just wish they would just start the movie in Tron and be in Tron the whole time and end the movie in Tron and never do we ever see the real world. Quote,
we'll
unquote,
see if
world.
You listen to the intro, Jeff Bridges tells you in the song, well, not the song, but the track, uh-huh, the grid, and then explains the grid.
Yes.
A lot of explanation here.
I know.
I don't get it.
I hate it.
I watched but I still don't get it.
But kids, here's the deal with that. It's like the idea with Legacy was to reboot the brand, right? Was like, hey, we might have something here.
Right.
So we're going to reboot this. And then that is going to be a bigger thing. I mean, they came out with the animated Uprising, I believe. And then there's a couple of things that trickled out from there. Unfortunately, and there was a lot of talk about a sequel to Legacy. That was the idea, that it was going to keep going. So that's why you have all that exposition, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
That kind of, if you will, muddies it a little bit in the beginning, because they're like, all right, we want to pay homage to the original. We want to make sure that you know where this is coming from. And now we're going to take this to another level with a new generation and keep that train moving, or keep that light cycle moving.
Right.
Nice. It kind of ran out of light.
Nice. Yes. All right. So, you know, Sam is, you know, Sam does this thing where he releases this program that NCOM was, you know, trying to market, and they were about to open up in the Tokyo stock market, and they were very excited. And he kind of ruins the business by releasing this, the most protected software in the world, the most highest security. This guy, this kid comes in and wrecks it and gives it for free to everybody. Then there's a little bit of a chase, and he gets arrested. He gets out of jail. Oh, God, this is dreadful, this whole beginning. And then he goes to the Flynn's video arcade, which is shut down, and he discovers a basement. There's a big computer and a laser, and he's messing around on this computer, and he accidentally turns the laser on and shoots himself in the back.
No, guy got a page on a pager from the 80s.
Yes.
Okay, so there's some magic and mystery and...
Right.
Where did this come from? The place is closed. There's
that is important. That is important. You're right. There is a tease of a pager message from Flynn, from Kevin Flynn to be specific, Father
and
Flynn.
And his son does not want to take the mantle of the business.
No, he doesn't.
Is a thing that we want to know.
He's a bit of a bad. He's a bit of a bad boy. He's not. Ugh. You know,
like Miriam pointed out, there is some story digging.
He was the worst bad boy
for
ever.
Sure. Like, for sure. There's a ton of story here. And
forecasting
I'm
with this.
Absolutely. Oh, you didn't like the child Flynn.
Who's the child Flynn? Like, I kept looking at his face.
I will say I did think that there were about five other actors that could have played that part better. I love the movie, but out of everybody in it.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
I hope he's not listening.
I'll tell you.
No, you can't take it back now.
On a press release, it says the actor, his name is Garrett Hedlund. He went through a Darwinian casting process, which tested hundreds and hundreds of actors. And he had the, quote, unique combination of intelligence, wit, humor, look, and physicality that they were looking for to be Flynn's son.
100% no.
Did it not say cardboard or rigid? It didn't say that, Garrett?
It didn't say that, strangely.
It didn't
say cardboard.
It didn't say hardwood or anything like that?
No, it doesn't say that in the press release, no.
Interesting. Weird.
Yeah. Anyway, so Sam Flynn shoots himself in the back with his laser, and that puts him on the grid. And he gets sort of very quickly captured. And there are a bunch of people that get captured all at the same time, it seems like. And somebody comes up and they, what would you call that? They sort of look him up and down and they decide where he's going. So a few people are going to one place. Some people are going to another. He's going to the games, where he has to fight a masked program named Rinsler. Rinsler is out there. Rinsler, the program. So, you know, he fights Rinsler and he takes the L on this. And when he's laying there, Rinsler realizes that he's bleeding, that Sam is bleeding. And he's like, wait a minute, you're a user. And then the big boss is there. And that's Clue. And Clue sort of takes him and interrogates him. And Clue is also played by the dude.
Yes, with the Benjamin Button's workover.
Yes, he looks like a young dude.
Very creepy young dude.
creepy young dude. So here's the thing. Like, as soon as he got onto the grid and he gets into that match with the discs, I was into it. I was super. I thought that was a super exciting scene when he beats the first guy pretty handily, which I thought was wild. Imagine throwing a frisbee for the first time and winning a fight with it. Like, okay, cool. I thought it looked amazing. This started to sell the movie for me. This turned it all around right here. But it was 23 minutes in.
Much better than First Tron, for sure, as far as the games.
Yeah. the scenes in general with anything having to do with the light stuff are about 1,000 times better.
What if they still looked like original Tron? Ugh.
I am glad they decided to embrace the new technology and not just update the way they had done it then. Be like, no, still make it like straight lines and like everything turns like Pac-Man. You should still do that.
But gray rivers of power still. Let's do that.
Anyway, so that... I mean, I'm dragging myself through the plot of this. The plot's, you know, is the plot the high point for anybody on this?
No. No.
Why am I talking about it at all?
None of this is the high point.
Look, I think it's a fun reinvention and a fun visit, you know, from the original. I think, you know, the plot, man, listen, yeah, Mark, when you explain it, I'm getting bored already.
That's what I'm saying.
But when you watch it, though, you know, when you have some of the bells and the whistles and the fantastic lights that now have an environment that they can whiz around, like, and it looks good and it works.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. It felt tension heavy. At a lot of moments. A lot of moments I was like, I never feared that he was going to get stuck in the grid or that the world was going to. I never actually feared that.
Right.
But I like the challenges that he faced.
I think the story is easier to follow in Legacy than it is in the original.
Sure. I agree.
Way easier to follow, way less muddy, way more definite about what's going on right now. Mm-hmm. There is one, and we'll get to it. There's one part of the story or the plot or however you want to phrase it that I didn't think was necessary and was kind of confusing. And that comes a little later. But as far as Flynn and his son and their relation and what it has to do with this, I enjoyed the tie-in to the actual original story and all of that. Like, I really enjoyed that part of it.
Well, what's the part you're talking about?
So later, when he meets Cora, and then they are after the bar scene where...
after the bar scene. Name, even. Okay. Yeah.
After the scene with Zeus... and they leave the bar and Cora is injured. And then you find out that she is one of the, I forget the name. She's the only ISO. It's the only isomorphic program that was left after Clue killed all of them, which happened in the in-between of these two movies, which is what's been going on in the grid while we're gone. Right. And that was where I was like, I don't really need a story about what went on in the grid while we were gone.
I think they were trying to make Cora important.
And I'm like, she could just be another program. That's fine. Like, I didn't need this whole other story about this weird race that spawned in this time period and is now gone. Like, so you're telling me they're all dead and this happened in between these two movies. That's my only issue with the whole thing.
But that's what the dude wanted, right? Like, that was his whole mission, is he wanted this, like, He wanted to create these ISOs, these no disease biodigital jazz, man, is the exact quote.
Yeah.
Is the exact quote from the dude. Biodigital jazz, man, is what he says.
I hate that you brought that up, because it's a horrible line in that movie.
Yeah.
You know what?
They did incorporate his mystique a little too much, into this.
How we got there was, Flynn escapes Clue, who's the big bad guy, who's, you know, we figure out is created by Father Flynn. And he escapes him and he runs away and he finds his father, who's been living. He wasn't dead at all. He's been living in the grid. He's been trapped in the grid. And he's there with Quora, as you were saying, who is his creation. She's biodigital jazz, man. And then because he's a rebellious young man, he goes and he doesn't want to, like, you know, his dad is content to just live there because he doesn't want to go back to the grid. to the main part where Clue is, because if Clue gets his hands on him, you know, he can get that disc that lives. Oh, here's the other thing. Everybody's got all of their memories and all of their essence is stored in a disc. That is the Frisbee disc that they throw around. So there's a bit of a leap in logic there, right? Like, this is the most precious thing and I'm going to use it as a weapon and hurl it at you and hope it comes back. Okay. Also,
well, that was there in the first one, right? I mean, like,
yeah, but I mean,
their identity wasn't tied to it, was it? Why do I know this? Also,
yeah, no, it was. I'm pretty sure it was.
Yeah, I think it was.
I'm so resentful of this movie making me know these things.
Here's my thing. If that disc was so precious, you'd think that they'd mount it anywhere else but on your back where it's easy to snatch away. You know what I mean? Like, somebody could just walk up to you and go, yoink, and take it off your back, and now I've got your essence. Deal with it, sucker. What are you going to do?
An armband.
I was like, maybe
that
put it in your armpit.
That could have implications. Oh, I don't think you can do that.
Okay. A wristlet.
I was saying put it right inside. Put it inside your armpit. Good luck getting it. It's in my armpit. That's a secure place, right?
That doesn't make pretty costuming, Mark.
I'm not talking about pretty costumes right now. I'm talking about the logic of your essence being stored in a disc.
Floppy disc shaped, right? Instead of round disc.
You're right.
Well, maybe, I mean.
I don't know. I could go with the floppy disc aesthetic.
Yeah.
Have you ever thrown a floppy disc?
Yeah, it's like a ninja star. It's got sharp edges.
It doesn't cut the air as well as a cylindrical, you know,
frisbee shaped
frisbee. Yeah, with a hole punched in the middle. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Anyway, the one, God, I'm dragging myself through this plot. Can you tell I don't want to talk about the plot of this movie? Can we just, you know what? I'm going to stop talking about the plot of this movie.
I'm excited about it, Mark.
Okay, will you talk about the plot? Right. Okay, so what happens next then? Jeanette, you tell us, because you're going to be excited about it. As I tell it, I'm going to fall asleep halfway through telling you that they go and meet Zeus at a bar.
Because they need to go reopen the portal so that he can get back to the real world.
Who's the actor?
I think I missed he's this
the
part.
He's the owner of that bar where the party
is. He with the white hair?
Yeah.
Yeah. His name was also Castor.
As soon as that came up on screen, I was like, no, this has no information.
Oh,
I love that.
This has no information. There's a huge thing.
That's all he has.
The bar.
As soon as he walked on screen, I was like, oh, this man has nothing to offer me plot wise. I'm good.
Are you? That's all he has to offer. That sadly for him and us. It's all plot with him. There.
So I didn't even know that was his name. I knew nothing about that because I was like, no.
I'm really
also
getting a window into
it. This is where they have the liquid power that was in the river before. Now it's on tap.
I was making a joke about the river of power, but I didn't realize it was happening in that scene because.
Yeah, they've tapped
it. Now it's on tap and they serve it
in really cool bars. So lame.
Yeah.
So lame.
But I will say this, heck of a performance from Michael Sheen in this role. You know, screaming straight into the camera at one point. Like, what an incredible, like, what is this? Is like equal parts. Like, he was almost Alan Cumming at some point.
I thought, you know who he reminds me of when he's doing the dance with his cane?
There was a dance with a cane.
Yeah, when he's doing, like, he's like
missed it.
Dancing up the steps.
He reminds me of really Alex DeBarge from Clockwork Orange.
Oh, yeah. I could see that.
Because all white and the dancing with the cane. Yeah. Not nearly as violent, but yeah.
That's probably for the best. That movie upset me quite a bit.
Let's have that crossover. No. Yeah.
Okay, so Jeanette, what happened? That would be weird. Jeanette, what happened? What happens after the bar?
So they're at the bar, and then the Rinsler and the cohorts of Clue show up, and they have a battle, and that's where Korra gets injured, and then that's when we end up on the Solar Sailor.
Right, which is like a weird sort of plank that's like taking them away from the city, right?
Yeah, and the disc gets stolen, so Clue has the disc, and he's about to open. He gets back there. He's going to open the portal.
He has Father Flynn's disc, so he got the most precious item in this movie.
Yes,
this is the darkest moment. Yeah,
and so they're on the solar, and on the Solar Sailor is where you get all the information about the isomorphs. And again, that was the part where I was like, we're going to tell this whole story on this little travel. And like, I kind of just didn't get why she was there.
Yeah.
I was like, we could just do this with Flynn and his son. I liked her character. She's awesome.
I thought she was pretty cool. Yeah.
But that was the story I didn't. So they get there, and then that's when you have kind of your, you start getting into them breaking into the major compound where the recognizers are, which are those big machines. And then I think this might be where you find out, maybe it's a few moments later, that Rensler is Tron.
Oh, yes. Is Tron. Yes. Is a reprogrammed Tron. Yes.
Yeah. And so he's like, you know, he was supposed to be the big hero before. And then, like you said, he was reprogrammed. I think that's where you find that out. But right. They basically start battling to get the disc back. Mm-hmm. The portal becomes opened.
Yeah. Activated, and then there's
battle while that's occurring. And it all results in Rensler eventually tries to run his light cycle or his light jet, one of the things they're using, into Clue. And right. then Clue and...
So, yeah, Rensler sort of remembers that he was Tron that whole time and turns good for a split second right at the end. That moment on the Solar Sailor when they were sort of racing away from the city and Quara was, you know, had her arm chopped off and was dying or dead or whatever. That was the moment that I really solidified what my problem with this movie was. And I was like, I know exactly why I don't love this movie, because the visuals are stunning and there's a lot about it that I should love, but I don't, and I can't figure out why. And that was the moment that I was like, oh, it's this. It's that we have these beautiful, incredible action sequences that don't really have much to do with the story. And then after the action sequence is done, we get these long plotting scenes with so much exposition, and thank God for Jeff Bridges, because at least he's charming. So when Jeff Bridges is talking, he's like, listen, man, he actually says, we got to split, man. And they get on the Solar Sail and he's just bio-digital jazz and he's doing his thing. And it's like, yeah, at least I can watch this guy, you know? But when anybody else is doing it, it's like, oh gosh, like you're not charming enough to, you know what I mean? Like this character isn't. And now I got to listen to you tell me what the story is. As opposed to, like, say, a Marvel movie where they don't have to tell me what the story is. They just live the story. And the action sequences are part of the story. At emotional high points, there is an action sequence that culminates in a plot point or something moving forward. Whereas this Tron stuff was like, yeah, this happens and then the plot and then another action sequence and then some plot. And never shall the two meet, you know, like we will only do plot here and then we will do racing stuff that looks cool. That's how I felt about this movie anyway.
No, I see your point. And when there's fights in this one specific in Legacy, there really, until the very end, is not necessarily a victor. People get away.
Yeah.
Or they move on to another location.
And it's just kind of over. And then Jeff Bridges tells us about bio-digital jazz, man. Yeah. And then, you know, so then Tron, Rensler remembers Tron. He, you know, throws a thing at Clue. Clear this up for me. What happens here? So then Father Flynn and Clue merge?
Because he created him. And that was one thing when I saw it in theaters, I was just really taken, like I was emotional during that scene. I was highly invested in the characters.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was really emotional in that scene. And then whenever we left, I was like, I asked my dad, I was like, so what if like they became one or they're both destroyed? Because now I'm like, are they both gone? Are they both dead? I just figured since he created him and then he was actually in there that, yeah, they merged.
That's what I thought too.
That was what I assumed.
And then, baby Flynn jumps in the portal, goes back to the quote unquote real world. And he takes Quara with him, which I guess because she's a hybrid.
Yeah.
She can make it through the portal without being like deleted or whatever they call it.
Okay. So
derezzed.
Derezzed. Thank you.
Is she Jeff Bridges' daughter then?
His creation and his disciple.
Yeah, not like that. Not like,
even
not biological
she's part
daughter.
Human? And he's the only human in there?
No, yeah, don't do like this. Don't do this.
Stop.
Don't make this a brother-sister story.
I expected that from Mark, okay?
And yeah, I didn't make the brother-sister story. Tron Legacy did. Well, Bridges did with his jazz.
I will say, man. I liked this ending. I loved the sunset, but I did appreciate at the end of Original Tron getting a fantastic shot of Jeff Bridges in that fantastic jacket jumping out of the helicopter.
It wasn't it like a still shot too with his wind like hair?
It was one of those 80s endings where it's moving and then they freeze frame it.
Yeah.
Amazing. I'll say that there was a scene earlier where Quora was talking with Baby Flynn, who I'm just going to call him Baby Flynn now. And
it's supposed to be Son of Flynn, but I love Baby Flynn.
So Son of Flynn sounds a lot more. That sounds a lot tougher than Baby Flynn. So Baby Flynn and Quora are talking, and Quora says something about not imagine, like there's some light off in the distance. And she said, that's what I imagine a sunrise looks like. And he said, oh, it's way better. And at that moment I went, this movie's ending with that woman seeing a sunrise for the first time. There is no way, they owe that ending now. There's no way they can end this movie any other way. And that is exactly how they ended this movie.
Yeah.
Which I thought was great.
The scenes that we kind of technically skimmed over, like where they're talking, where they're doing that thing, where they're talking it out, right?
Yeah.
It happening in the set design of that awesome shag pad that Bridges' character has.
And to be clear, you call it a shag pad because there was a shag carpet on the ground.
There was a shag carpet.
Yes.
A digital shag carpet.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that room, the set design in that room, I think when you're talking about the stunning visuals in this movie, that was like one of my favorite pieces of the whole thing. And his little meditation.
Very
area.
Reminiscent of his original shag pad.
Right? With the sunken
with the couch on the ground or whatever.
From the original.
Couch. God, you're right.
Yeah. From the original movie you're talking about.
Oh,
Nigel.
I didn't even think about that. The low couches and everything.
Yeah.
I can't believe I never noticed
that. It was the
that.
Best time of my life. I'm going to make this digital jazz pad.
With a weird chandelier. Yep.
I don't think that this character would be this character had Jeff Bridges not been who he was over the past few years. Like if he had turned out to be a different person, this character would have been a different person.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think Father Flynn, when he was just regular Flynn, was kind of headed this way no matter what.
All right. So, I mean, that was the movie. I thought it ended well. I thought the sunrise was owed. They said it earlier and they delivered. I was like, yeah, that's about right. I mean, my main problem with the movie is the first 23 minutes, really. I was like, I could have done without it. If you went straight to Tronland, I think I would have liked this movie a lot more. Give me that exposition in a paragraph off the top with Jeff Bridges selling it as a voiceover. Sure, fine. And then get me straight to Tronland and let's do it. I didn't need the other plot.
I think you're proven right. I was working a house party where the people were having dinner and their kids were in another room. And I heard Tron Legacy start. They selected it on Disney Plus. And so, of course, me, I go run in the room. I kind of peek around the corner and I'm like, oh, those kids are cool. They're watching Tron Legacy. And then, like, I don't know, 15 minutes later, I go back and they're watching something else. And I was like, oh, hey, I thought y'all were watching Tron Legacy. Like, I don't know, we changed it. And I think that opening, because they were watching that part. I'm like, oh, I was like, oh, this movie's awesome. Although maybe it was just an adult telling them that the movie was awesome. That might be why they changed it.
You can't.
The movie's very polarizing, right? Like, I mean, it's just, it's literally, you either love it.
That's why we're here, right?
Yeah. There's no middle ground for the fans of this movie. There's no middle ground at all. Cause it's just, you know, it has a cult following. It does, believe it or not. But then the people that hate it don't speak of it like it's the plague. You know what I mean? Nobody's
Well, that's like people use it as the butt in a joke. And sometimes when people like, oh, that looks like Tron. And I'm like, yeah, it's so cool. And they're like, that's not how I meant that.
Exactly. Yeah.
Or they'll be like, I bet you he looks like he likes Tron. And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, no.
You're hearing it. Oh, that looks like Tron instead of, oh, that looks like Tron.
And I think you're right. Like you right. That's why we're here. Cause there's two of us that cannot explain exactly why we love it. And two of us that are like, I can't name one thing that I specifically don't like about
the colors
it.
Were very pretty in this one. Much pretty.
Right.
Original.
Great color palette. Yeah.
So sure. one, and I did the, like the music. You were right about the music, I will say.
Yeah, I that's one thing I do tell people. I'm like, look, if you don't like the movie, you can still throw that on and just be like, well, this is some killer music. This is amazing.
Yeah,
agreed.
It gives me the feels. I do hope. Although, I don't know. Is the music from the movie what's featured in the ride in Shanghai?
You know, good question. I don't know. I would hope so.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I really hope the music's incorporated into the ride when we get the ride.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be cool. And they're making a third one of these movies, right?
Supposedly, that keeps coming and going as Legacy did in its inception.
That's what I was going to say. Legacy was like how many, like 20, 30 years later? Like, I mean, it's, mm-hmm. and now they're like, yeah, man, for sure, there's going to be a next one. It's like,
yeah.
Man.
And Legacy first started being talked about in like 03, 04.
Yeah.
And didn't come till 2010. So, you know, at that rate, we'll get the next one when the ride at Disney's already been rethemed to something else. So
maybe that's the move.
Right.
Maybe that's the move. Right.
I will say this. I just looked it up. And yes, the Daft Punk music is featured on the ride. Yes.
Oh, awesome. Well, that's exciting.
Hopefully the same will be when it comes to Disney World.
Just change the music. That would be mean.
Well, I mean, you know, Daft Punk broke up. Maybe they don't want it. They're like, no, you know what? Our music, take it away from everything.
You think? Yeah. You don't think they want the paycheck?
No, I don't think so. I think they'll do it. You know what? I think they probably already, they have no choice. I think Disney already signed them to a deal and they just own that music. They could do whatever they
guaranteed.
Want with it.
Yeah. Guaranteed. Yeah. That's old news, man. Guaranteed.
Yeah, for sure. All right. So Tron Legacy, I don't know. Let's give it a Rotten Tomatoes score out of 10. Let's start with Miriam, because Miriam, for sure, you're going to be the lowest.
Let's see. I'll give one for the lights, one for the music, and one for the robe. So 3 out of 10.
3 out of 10. Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay.
One for the robe. A whole star for the robe.
Wow. That's nice. Okay.
Yeah. Nigel?
I'm going to give it a solid 7.
7. Okay.
Yeah. Because I don't think it's, for me personally, I don't think it's, an eight is without all the plot stuff that we talked about. You know what I mean? Like if we locked in some of the plot stuff, but if you go below a 6, it's like, man, I can pass on that movie. But a 7,
you're going to watch it. If it's on.
Yeah. You're going to watch it. Right.
Yeah.
But you'll enjoy it more than a 7, but I think it's still around a 7.
Right. Jeanette?
It's an 8 for me. Cause I will watch it anytime it's on. Mm-hmm. It is a movie I'll throw in if I can't think of something to watch. I've seen it more times than the original. And as far as the plot, like both Tron movies to me are about almost like the fable aspect or the moral aspect. Like it's not so much the exact story that you take away. It's the story about mankind's relationship with technology. I said that in the other episode, so I won't go down that rabbit hole too much. But that's my big thing, is man's relationship with computers and technology is like the story. And then I did enjoy the father-son aspect in this one and what they had to tell. But yeah, it's an 8 for me, just because, again, the soundtrack's a 10 for me.
I get
that's it.
I agree.
I get what you're saying about the story. Like, there is something there, and I just feel like it just wasn't, for me, it just wasn't executed the way I would hope. But there is that sort of, like, metaphorical, like God created man in his image, and man sort of rebelled and did their own thing. And then Flynn sort of created, you know what I mean? Like, in this scenario, he's kind of, like, creating this, and then he had Clue, and they rebelled. So there is kind of, like, that metaphorical, like there's like a there's a parallel with the Bible, you know what I mean, like that kind of thing.
There's
a lot
stories,
to like,
if you look at the wiki for this thing, and I had heard this when it came out in like something I read, but they say that it's supposed to have parallels with Wizard of Oz, which you can totally see in this one.
Oh yeah,
I think with like the, you know, having to travel and then you're having this evil thing and chasing you and all that. And I think the only reason I don't give it a 9 is because that's, to me, until you get into your top 3 favorite movies ever, 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 you don't give something a 10. And the 9 is only because of that weird, like I thought Cora's character was completely pointless.
Okay.
But I love her character. I think she's awesome. I don't think it serves a point in the story.
I get you. For me, I give it a 6. And the only reason I didn't give it a 7, because I think my 6 is similar to your 7, Nigel. Mm-hmm. But the only reason I didn't give it that extra point was because of that first 23 minutes. This is a pet peeve of mine. And it was really, this is a movie that's, I'm about to reference a movie that's not for kids. I want to be very clear about that. It's called Pan's Labyrinth. Have you guys seen this thing?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Oh, beautiful. You picked another 8 or 9 for me.
Now we're talking about a 9. You want to talk about 9?
And I'll tell you, I recognize that movie is excellent. I hated that movie because you sold me on Pan's Labyrinth. You sold me on the movie poster, which was that, you know, that monster. And you sold
and they
me
spend
on
too much time in the real world for you.
And the first thing that happens is somebody is very brutally killed. That yeah, it happens very early in the movie. And I don't like to see that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't handle that well. And I was aghast. And then so much, I would say 3/4 of that movie, maybe 2/3 of that movie took place in the quote unquote real world. And only 1/3 of the movie was fantastical. And all of the trailers showed me fantastical things. And the poster was fantastical. And how dare you lure me into this movie expecting like a fantastical evening. And afterwards, I'm depressed and upset. And like, you know, the child protagonist has died, spoiler alert. Like you sold me a bill of goods and then you gave me something else that I didn't want. And while Tron doesn't quite go that far, Tron offers me this movie poster and all of these wonderful trailers where I'm seeing light cycles and, you know, these frisbees being thrown. And then I have to wade through the first 23 minutes before I see any of that. And that for that, I docked it a point. So that I gave it 6 for that.
I don't want to let myself go too far down the Pan's Labyrinth thing, but yeah.
It's just really upsetting. But like, to think about it, it's an excellent movie. I want to say it's airtight. It's a very good movie, but it's very upsetting.
I agree with you, Mark. I agree with you about Pan's Labyrinth. I know this is about Tron Legacy, but let's just do a quick aside.
Yeah, for sure.
But Pan's Labyrinth, the uniqueness, the magic of that movie is that 1/3, I feel like, is that we get taken on this journey, and then we are now earning that right to go into this world, and we see it and we're like, oh my God, what is happening? What's going on here? And then it's over. You know what I mean? So I get what you're saying, but only then in a movie that has great storytelling and great visuals and great plot and great characters and great acting, can you do that? Can you tell your audience by way of posters or trailers, hey, this movie's got this and that, but you gotta wait 1 hour and 20 minutes before you get it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so you're sitting on the edge waiting for that moment. And then when you get it, hopefully you're so immersed in the magic that's already been that when you do get it, it takes you even further.
For sure. I was just hoping for a magic movie. You know what I mean? I was hoping for 3/4 of it. I was hoping for exactly. You said Wizard of Oz. I was hoping for Wizard of Oz. I got something else. And again, if I was prepared for that, I probably would have enjoyed it. If I was if I had readied myself, but I just wasn't ready. I just wasn't ready for Pan's Labyrinth. Anyway, okay, so that's how we feel about Tron Legacy. I think overall we liked it. I'm looking right at Miriam as I say that. Miriam's shaking her head no.
She's like, no.
Miriam's outnumbered on this one. I liked the movie. I did go into it thinking I wasn't going to like it, and then I liked it. And obviously it's one of Jeanette's favorites.
Like, given the choice, I would watch this before I ever watched actual Tron again.
I was going to say, at least we know that you definitely favor this one over original Tron. And I would, like I said before, given the choice, I'll always watch Legacy. Mm-hmm. Like, if that's on, it's on my TV. Like, it's I'll put it on.
All right, so there it is. We've turned Nigel. Nigel now hates Tron Legacy. He's in Miriam's camp, and it's Jeanette and I who are waving the Tron Legacy flags. And I can hear Chris. His heart is screaming. He doesn't know we're talking about this, but I know for sure his heart is screaming somewhere deep down. He knows, and he's very
he'll be
upset.
I only gave it an 8.
You think? We'll see. Now we just have to watch the TV show. Right? Or the series.
Yeah. Listen, that one doesn't pick up fast enough for me.
It's slower than Tron movies?
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't see it, but Miriam just melted. Like, she melted and then just, it was the slow burn. She's gone now.
I derezzed, literally.
I've seen about 4 episodes, and the first 2 to me are slow. I know Chris really loves the show, so maybe that's one where we can fully outnumber Chris.
We're talking about Uprising, right? Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah.
The cartoon? Okay.
Yeah. I got to get into it again. I think I tried it when it first came out, you know, and that was a while ago now. Right. And at the time, if I'm thinking correctly, I was probably pregnant and just needed more to grasp my attention.
Right, fair enough. Well, you know what? Let's, Nigel, Jeanette, you're both invited back. Let's make it through this cartoon And we'll and you know what? For the final one, we'll have Chris and we'll talk about it. Miriam, I want you to not watch it and just talk about it anyway.
Literally, I can do that.
I want you to just ask
me to do that.
Yeah, to be ignorant of it and just go, sorry, what happens next? Oh, I'm glad I didn't watch that.
Just make scrunchy faces though.
Yeah,
Chris favorite. Is really good at pointing out your scrunchy face.
Can't hide it when he just likes so many bad things.
Fair. All right, so this is the end of this episode, right? So I'll do the sign off thing that Chris normally does, and I do not as well. Thanks for listening, everybody. Don't forget to like and subscribe. If you want to write us a review, my goodness, we would really appreciate that. All the music is composed and provided by Mike Troublecock. Check him out at
MikeTroublecockMusic.com.
Oh, great. So for Miriam, for Nigel, for Jeanette, and for the missing in action Christopher Bond, I am Mark. See you real soon. Why? Because we like you, and
we like
theme parks and Tron Legacy and vaccines.
Bye.